to tonight's meeting. My name is Paula Reap, Mayor of Kingborough, and it is my pleasure to welcome you all to this evening's meeting on Monday the 17th of April 2023. Welcome to our member of the public who's joined us, and also to those people who would be watching along at home via YouTube. It's 5:30pm and I now officially declare this meeting open. I wish to advise that Council meetings are recorded and made publicly available on our website. In accordance with Council's policy, I'll ask the General Manager to confirm that the audio recording has started.
Confirmed, Mayor.
Thank you. I wish to acknowledge the traditional custodians of this land, pay respects to Elders past and present, and acknowledge today's Tasmanian Aboriginal community. Our attendees this evening are myself, Councillor Reap, Deputy Mayor Councillor Gladewright, Councillor Bain, Councillor Cordover, Councillor Dean, Councillor Midgley, Councillor Richardson and Councillor Street. From our staff this evening, we have the Acting General Manager, Mr Reeve, Chief Financial Officer, Mr Breen, Director of Governance, Recreation and Property Services, Mr Smee, Director of Environment, Development and Community Services, Dr Fox, Manager of Development Services, Ms Tyler Moore, our Media and Communications Advisor, Ms Adams, and the Executive Assistant, Mrs Morton. We have apologies this evening from Councillors Antoli and Councillor Fox. Confirmation of minutes. The motion on page one is that the minutes of the open session of Council meeting number 6 held on the 3rd of April 2023 be confirmed as a true record. I'm looking for a mover and a seconder, please. A mover in Councillor Gladewright and a seconder in Councillor Midgley. All those in favour?
Aye.
Against? Motion is carried unanimously. Still on page one, workshops held since the last Council meeting. There have been no workshops. Does any Councillor have an interest they would like to declare? No, thank you. Transfer of agenda items. Is there any item on the agenda that a councillor would like to transfer from closed into open session or open into closed session? Thank you. Questions without notice in the public. Would our member of the public like to ask a question? If you could please come up to the lectern and state your name and suburb.
Professor Michael Rowan from Birches Bay, thank you. I'd like to thank the Council for the provision of the bushfire risk report, and I'll ask a question about that if I may. If I understand the map that was provided on page 112 of the Council agenda, every evacuation route by land from Kingborough is classified as extreme risk. While that risk is based upon the risk to property, I assume Council would agree with me that the value of life is at least the same as the value of property. And therefore, I ask, one, does this mean that every evacuation path by land for Kingborough residents is classified as a path of extreme risk? Two, if it is the case that no one in Kingborough will be able to evacuate the municipality by land without traversing a road classified as extreme risk, what percentage of the population of Kingborough can be safely accommodated in the municipality's, quote, nearby safer places? Three, are all Kingborough residents able to evacuate to a, quote, nearby safer place without travelling along a road in the municipality which is classified as extreme risk? And finally, what options for the protection of life does Council recommend for those residents who could not access a nearby safer place without traversing a road classified as extreme risk, or indeed for any who will not be able to be accommodated safely in their nearby safer place? Thank you.
Thank you very much. We don't have our emergency management coordinator here this evening, so we will take that question on notice.
All right.
Thank you. Thank you very much. We are still on page two now. Questions on notice from the public. We had three. The first one in relation to landscape conservation zone from Ms Winter, and an officer's response from Mr Stander. The second one in relation to the industrial land supply in Kingborough from Mr Biggins, and an officer's response from Mr Stander. And the third one in relation to eucalyptus trees on Osborne Esplanade from Mr Tong, and an officer's response from Mr Reeve. If anybody who is watching this would like to submit a question on notice, they can do so by completing the relevant form on Council's website or by emailing us at kc@kingborough.tas.gov.au. We turn now to page 4. Questions without notice from councillors. Does any councillor wish to ask a question without notice? That's the first. Okay. Questions on notice from councillors? Still on page 4. There was one question. It was update on LCZ review from Councillor Antoli, and there was an officer's response from Mr Stander. Turning now to page 5, petitions still being actioned. There are no petitions being actioned, and at the time the agenda was compiled, there were no petitions that had been received. We now are at page 5, officers' report to council, donation of land to Hobart Women's Shelter, with a recommendation on page 7. And I'm looking for a mover and a seconder. I've got a mover in Councillor Gladright and a seconder in Councillor Midgley. Councillor Gladright.
Thank you, Mayor. Council resolved to agree in principle to the donation of land at Gormley Drive to the Hobart Women's Shelter for the purpose of developing long-term housing for women and children, subject to a further report providing the details of any objections, of which there was one, an independent valuation of the land, of which was $500,000, and the conditions of transfer of land, which are set out in the recommendation. I attended the second Women's Housing Working Meeting at Government House last month, and we heard just how big the issue is and just how grateful they are for this offer. And I think as a community we should be very proud to host a facility like this in our municipality. So I support the recommendation.
Thank you, Councillor Gladright. Further discussion? Councillor Midgley.
Thank you, Mayor. I was really excited at work this afternoon to note to members of my team that this was on the council agenda. It's great. I thank you, Mayor and staff, for seeing this opportunity that we have discussed, because now more than ever, as Councillor Gladright has said and as we've spoken many times before, it's up to local, state and federal government. We can't be sitting around waiting for a solution. So I'd just like to thank you so much for that. I've had experience over many, many years and still even lately where people are in a crisis, short-term housing accommodation, then have to go and end up back on the streets. So this provides that next step, that next solution to medium to long-term housing women and children. So, thanks to all involved. I really look forward to seeing this development. I understand as well the designs. We've seen them preliminary around the trauma-informed design for this accommodation, which also is really aspirational and wonderful to see. I hope that other councillors will all support this tonight.
Thank you very much, Councillor Midgley. Councillor Cordova.
Thank you, Mayor. I seek to reiterate and echo some of the sentiments already made about what an important step this is for council and for the community in general. We're in a time of crisis, and it's really important that we as a local government authority step up wherever we can, and this is one such example. I note some of the concerns that were raised in the report, and I think they were accurately and fairly reflected and answered by the officer's response, so I take some comfort from that. Obviously, council will do everything that council can do to make this issue, to try and ameliorate some of the harm that's in the community as a result of this issue. And so I look forward to the speedy passage of this motion, and also wish the very best to the organisation for running this important work. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Cordova, further contributions? I would just like to make a contribution in relation to this. I'm delighted to see this back, and I think that it speaks volumes about the caring community that we live in, that we only receive one objection to this. And I do think that genuinely that objection, from my reading of it, was perhaps had been provided with a misunderstanding of the type of accommodation that this would be. And so we have been at pains to point out that this is not to be for crisis accommodation, that is, women and children who are leaving a relationship where they have nowhere else to go, because obviously if there is an aggrieved party involved, then that does require a different configuration of accommodation, and accommodation that is secure. One of the really big barriers, as we know from the Hobart Women's Shelter, is that because of the level of women that are presenting to them every year, which is around 2,365 women are being presenting to the shelter every year, and the 80% of those are being turned away because there is no crisis accommodation. The reason there's less crisis accommodation is that the women and children that are in that accommodation are staying longer because they don't have that second phase to go to. As Councillor Gladright has mentioned, we did attend the Women's Housing Working Meeting at Government House a couple of weeks ago, and that was run by the Hobart Women's Shelter, and they were talking about some of the misconceptions in the community about the clients that they have. There's a belief that everybody who fronts up at a women's shelter is doing so because of issues they've had with domestic violence and leaving a relationship. In fact, that only accounts for about 60% of their clients. There are also an increasingly large number of women who are going to those facilities because they have housing affordability issues or a range of other problems. I think it was about 16% of people and increasing. It's because they simply cannot afford to rent somewhere and they could end up homeless, and so they go to the shelter as a last resort. They are pretty disturbing figures, but it's adding to the problem of that the blockage, I guess, of being able to get into the shelter and then moving them on to somewhere else. The Hobart Women's Shelter is celebrating its 50th anniversary next year, and they have got a goal of creating 50 houses by the time they turn 50. And if you consider that 7 or 8 of those houses can be built on this parcel of land in Gormley Drive, then I think that's a great step forward and contribution that we've been able to make now in Kingborough towards that goal. And so I do hope that this does prompt other councils to consider whether they have the capacity to have any land that is suitable, and that's always the challenge, is finding that land in terms of the suitability for proximity to schools and other services and bus stops and sporting facilities. And we are very fortunate that this land did was able to satisfy the criteria. So I think in reflecting about this, we are, as council, the closest level of government to the community. We get so much, we're so accessible as councillors, we get so much feedback from members of our community, and we know that we constantly have issues come to us that are in the domain of other levels of government, like state and federal government, and we can't always, we can advocate on our community's behalf, but we can't always solve those problems. So it's really nice and satisfying that we have a big issue here that we've been able to make a small contribution towards as a council, and I just wanted to thank all the councillors and the staff who have worked on this for their support in being part of what I think is a pretty special day for us. And really now we just hope that the women's shelter, now that we have the land sorted out for them, that they can secure the funding to build this much needed accommodation. So I think it's something we should all be very, very proud of, and I thank you all for your support. Any further comments? Otherwise, I will hand back to Councillor Gladright. To close debate? No, debate is closed. Okay, I'll put the motion. It's as printed on the screen. All those in favour?
Aye.
Against? The motion is carried unanimously. We turn now to page 9, financial report, March 2023, with a recommendation on page 11, looking for a mover and a seconder. Got a mover in Councillor Street, seconder in Councillor Bain. Councillor Street.
Thank you, Mayor. I move the report for the purpose of discussion.
You're not moving to be discussed.
No. Sorry.
No, sorry.
For my colleague's comments.
Basically. Okay. Just to clarify, don't confuse me. Contributions. Oh, Councillor Cordova.
Thank you, Mayor. Taking the report as read, but of course, Look, I just had a couple of questions to get the ball rolling. Rates are over budget due to supplemental rates. Statutory fees and fines are $353,000 under budget. How far do we expect that to go in terms of, is the situation deteriorating, is my question.
Mr. Breen, could you assist us?
Yes, through you, Mayor. So I think we've seen a pretty consistent trend over the 9 months of particularly planning fees and now building fees to a certain extent, and also compliance income being well under budget. Excuse me. So I think my estimate at this stage it will be about $400,000 under budget by the end of the year.
Thank you. Worth pointing out also user fees are $98,000 over budget due to greater than expected income from the sports centre, which is good to hear. And grants recurrent are $358,000 under budget due to the amount of prepaid grant income received in the previous financial years. I think that, profit on sale of assets is $227,000 over budget with the sale of land, which is not part of the underlying surplus calculation. And interest income, that was another question that I had. So in terms of our modelling, obviously we're going to start receiving more and more interest income due to the increases, the rate increases, and I just wondered how far out is that factored, like how far do we estimate that it will go, and how positive will that be for council's finances?
Mr. Breen.
Yes, through you, Mayor. When we put this budget together, we were predicting for interest income to be, or interest rates to be below 1%, as they were at the time the budget was put together. We've now seen, at the moment, we're getting rates of around 4%, but it does seem to be that we're about the peak of the rates at the moment. So our modelling is that over the next 4 or 5 years, a slight reduction, but I think rates will still probably stay in the 3 to 4% range. So a good, healthy return over the next few years.
Thank you.
Councillor Midgley.
Thank you, Mayor. Something occurred to me when I was reading this report, thinking I've seen this in previous reports and that in previous reports, and I guess rather than me going back and seeing that, you know, that hasn't changed, I'm wondering if at all it would suit, like, the Kingston Park project update report. Some of the bits are highlighted in yellow, so we can sort of see if there's any changes in figures and things like that. Would that be at all suitable for this report? Because just noting, like, the Bruny Island, that sort of paragraph there is in and other things are kind of repeated each time, but so we can actually then pick up what the changes are, if there is any variance in figures and that, I'm just wondering.
Mr. Breen.
Yeah, through you, Mayor. So essentially most of the figures will change because there'll be an update on a monthly basis, but there will be some that are clearly locked in because there's been a one-off event that might have occurred that made the change. So, yeah, look, happy to look at that for the next lot of numbers just to sort of see what that looks like.
Thank you. Because I guess, like, say, the $100K in fees and fines outstanding to council, like, again, I'd look through other reports and see, well, is that increasing or are we seeing a change in that or has it been paid or whatever? And I guess a question also related to that is, I mean, there's always people who aren't going to pay their fees and fines on time and things, but I guess how long, what's the kind of waiting period? How long do we allow?
Mr. Breen.
Yeah, through you, Mayor. So essentially we have a number of, I guess, small fees and fines that are outstanding. There's always quite a volume of those which we work our way through and get over a period of time. There will be some larger ones that are outstanding that we are generally we're sort of struggling to get people to make their payments. So some of those, when we get those in, we'll get a big lump sum in, but it can be quite infrequent. But, yeah, certainly happy with the next report perhaps to give a bit more of an update as to how we're going in regards to the collection of those funds.
Thank you. Councillor Bain.
Thank you, Mayor. Just interested in the further information on the block of land that's been sold and the $159,000 associated with that. Is that to do with the playground, one of the playground blocks? Or
I think it was the Hearn Road. No, sorry, not Hearn Road. Is it Tingira Road? Hearn Road? No. I can't answer that. Mr. Breen. I've got to stop trying.
It's really me. No, I know I should know the answer to this, but I should have just gone out of my head as well. We did sell a block.
Yeah, I think it was Herne Road, actually. Ah, there we go. I got it right the first time. I shouldn't have second-guessed myself. Herne Road.
Thank you.
Councillor Dean.
Yeah, just on that, and this may not be appropriate for this one because I got thinking on Councillor Bain's comment there, but the sale of land that occurred just recently in Taroona, or this land that went for sale, was that included in this report? And maybe the Director of Governance and Property and Development Services might have an answer for me there.
Mr. Snee.
Through you, Mayor, no, we are yet to put that block on the market. We put it on the market and had to take it off the market because the stormwater that needs to be fixed, we found out hadn't been fixed, and so we had to take it off the market. Once the stormwater's fixed, we'll go back on the market.
Any further questions? No? If not, I'll put the recommendation. Councillor Street, you don't want to sum up, do you? Didn't think you did because you didn't say anything to begin with. And I put the motion that Council endorses the attached financial report as at the 31st of March 2023. All those in favour?
Aye.
Against? Motion is carried. We turn now to page 69, Development Services Quarterly Report, with a recommendation on page 75. Looking for a mover and a seconder, please. Moved, Councillor Midgley. Seconded, Councillor Cordova. Councillor Midgley.
Thank you, Mayor. I like this report and the infrastructure report as well. They're always, and I know the infrastructure report is in the appendix, but it's great to have these reports to Council because it provides us with a number of updates, and we can see the tracking around the application lodgements that they have changed, and the impact of the financial impacts to people. It was interesting to note that people are coming back to Council to look at downsizing their building size, so it's really highlighting the impact on that. And I guess there's also then the change in speculations in the planning kind of income for Council, whereas not seeing as many applications come through. And it provides some really great updates around the state government's review of the policies and the planning policies, and also the customer inquiries. It's interesting to note that people still like to phone call as well, which is an interesting note. And I've heard from quite a few residents that the prompt response when people email, that they get a prompt response. And just it's good to have the update on planning matters that are before TASCAT there, and I guess the reasons why and the appeal types and that sort of thing. So, yeah, thank you for the information. It's interesting.
Thank you very much. Councillor Cordova.
Thank you, Mayor. And through you, my question is about short-stay accommodation and visitor accommodation in general and the reporting on it. And I guess it's kind of apropos of the previous conversation that we were having surrounding the Hobart Women's Shelter and the increasing pressure on residential vacancy rates and the rental crisis. And, well, there is a kind of nexus that exists, particularly I actually wasn't aware of that fact that 16% of those seeking help from the women's shelter were actually due to a housing affordability crisis, in essence. So that's a really shocking fact for me to have learned today. So I note that in this report we do see that under on page 73, under planning appeals updates, there's reference made there to various things that are working their way through the TASCAT process, and that's fine. But my question is, do we have clear visibility over how many applications we're receiving for visitor accommodation? And also, is that possibly an option for us to be able to see that in these reports about how many are coming through? I would find that very interesting. Thanks.
Ms. Tollemore.
Through you, Mayor, yes, we can draw the data about which are application types for visitor accommodation. I don't have it at hand, but I could do it as a question on notice for the next meeting. And yes, we can include application types for the next quarterly report.
If that is going to be provided, we'd be interested to see it broken down into Bruny Island and mainland as well, because I think there's two different issues there.
Thank you very much. And so I'll just conclude my remarks by saying, through you, Mayor, thank you for that answer. I think it would be great to have that on notice and also to include it in the report. I think it'll be really useful, actually, to inform our discussion around that very contentious issue. It'll be really useful for the councillors and I think the community at large. So thanks once again. Cheers.
Thank you, Councillor Cordova. Any further questions? Councillor Dean.
Yeah, look, I just want to back in Councillor Midgley's comments about the useful insights that this provides, particularly as only having seen a couple of these so far. First question was just about... I noticed that we're still, obviously, as Councillor Midgley's pointed out, a lot still come through as phone, but when we're getting those 16% of emails, which on 600 or so inquiries is obviously a fair chunk, and we get a lot of inquiries via email, just generally not relating to planning. Have we got a bit of an update in terms of where we are in terms of improving our systems and so that there is a bit more of a feedback loop so that people that are sending in a generic email are then getting a response?
They're sending in a generic email?
To the generic KC, so that we have a system so that they actually, there's a feedback loop so that they find out what's happening to it and just disappears.
I think my understanding is that we're still developing that system so that there is a sort of a closing of the loop because it doesn't have the capacity. It would have to be done manually at the moment by the staff member that it's being tasked to. And I know that, for example, if it's somebody who writes in about a maintenance request, a service request, it goes off to our works depot, it gets tasked or whatever, but unless somebody was then to manually respond and say, just to let you know, we've scheduled this, then it doesn't happen. So there's an issue with the volume that's coming through, but I do know that from speaking to... Mr. Arnold, the substantive general manager, that we were trying to redevelop our systems so that they did have that capacity, so that there is that closing of the loop, because obviously that is a hallmark of good customer service to be able to do that.
Yeah, I only ask because I had a good example of that today where something went missed from a resident and had queried where had that gone, and a few weeks later, and the staff member acknowledged that it had gone missing, and so that's good to hear that we're still in the process of closing that up. Just a separate question then. So obviously this report in 2.4, I believe it could be a typo, potentially it could be 2.5, is about planning appeal update. And it gives a list of what current planning matters are before TASCAT. And my question is, are they specifically those matters which are before the tribunal just for at the time of compiling the report?
Ms. Tullamore.
Through you, Mayor, yes, they're relevant at the time of writing the report.
Okay, so is there, again, pleading ignorance here, but is there a further report, potentially an annual report, that gives us information about those matters that have happened, say, each year, or matters that have gone to the tribunal, the outcome of those, who's presenting those forward, where they typically are? Is there a more broader appeal? Because as it reads currently, we only find out information about the current ones right now, not ones that may have closed during this quarter and that kind of thing. So a bit more, the data set just to me seems a little bit incomplete. So, and there may be something that we do or maybe that the Auditor General does, but could someone potentially give me a bit more info on that?
Ms. Tullamore.
Through you, Mayor, the quarterly report being quarterly would normally mean that you get it fairly regularly, and the matters that go through the tribunal typically take a number of months. In saying that, the last quarterly report wasn't completed because of the competing work and other reports that had come to the agenda, so there's a missing gap. We could do an annual report about the outcomes of all the tribunal matters and provide that information as a summary of the year, but there'd still be a lot that are probably sitting live, because at any time there's some live. In saying that, we do have quite a number of appeals at this point, and certainly any decisions that are made are published by TASCAT and shared to the interested parties, or parties that became people that chose to become a party. A problem with that is people who choose not to become a party, which we do encourage, may not know the outcome and the decision may have been changed. But I think your interest is more in councillors knowing, not the public. So we can do an annual report.
Or would those figures be best included in our annual report? As we had this number of... these were the number of appeals. These were the ones where, council was successful or the representatives were successful.
Certainly for the annual report, we can provide those numbers. The only thing risk with that really is that it doesn't tell the full story. So at the vast majority of the appeals at Kingborough, and actually around the state is that they're resolved at mediation. So that might be, a result of that might be changing the conditions of the permit or rewording the conditions. Sometimes the condition changes are actually really minor but seem to mean a lot to the appellant, and we try and resolve those. So, yeah, we could just have numbers in an annual report, but I don't think that is given the information that Councillor Dean's asking about. But we could could do both.
Yeah, Councillor Dean.
I understand that a lot do obviously get mediated out, but I think, and just reading today, we've got a very small sample set of, say, eight or so, but the majority here are, you know, appeal by applicant against permit conditions. So, yes, a lot of those get mediated out, but that in itself is interesting, I think, from a councillor perspective as to how many are actually going. And then, yes, getting mediated, but how are we getting that? So, if... I don't know how... If you're suggesting an annual report or something a bit more closed for councillors, in what time frame would it be an annual report that you could put together, or could you adjust the quarterly report to include resolved matters?
Ms Tullamore.
Through you, Mayor, yes, we could do it as resolved matters included in the quarterly report.
So we've made a decision there? That the next quarterly report will have resolved matters?
Resolved matters since the time of this report.
Yeah.
Yes.
Cool.
Yep.
Thank you.
Councillor Richardson.
Not meaning to confuse the issue further, but I'd actually like to see it in the quarterly report, a list of all of the matters that have been resolved since the last report. So that way we capture each quarter going forward, we capture the ones that haven't been in the previous report. And I think the outcome is quite important, whether it's been a mediated report, whether it's been for us or against us, so that we can kind of, you know, really get a gauge on where that's all sitting. So having it rolling forward with these quarterly reports, I think, would be good.
Thank you. I think we've determined that that's going to happen, so that's been a worthwhile discussion. Councillor Bang.
Thank you, Mayor. Under 2.4 customer inquiries, it talks about how the chart excludes inquiries regarding strategic planning queries as they are captured elsewhere. Just wondering if that total is in the report somewhere else, or could it be provided to get an idea of how busy that area is?
I met our new strategic... We have a new strategic planner who started today, who I had the pleasure of meeting, which was exciting,
an
I'm sure.
Additional one.
Additional one, yes. Ms Tullamore.
Through you, Mayor, it is captured in a different way. We also have a direct planning inquiry to do with the planning scheme module on our website as well. It just helps people do it more directly when they're looking up the information queries. So we can capture that and report on that as well. But I can tell you anecdotally, it's enormous.
Yeah. It'd be good to say it, yes.
Yep, thank you. Any further discussion? If not, I'll put the motion that, or the recommendation.
I have
that
a
the
question.
Development...
Just sorry. One more question.
Oh, sorry.
And then I sum
beg
up.
Your pardon, Councillor Midgley.
That's okay, no worries. Just further to Councillor Cordova's Airbnb question, I guess when I first was on council, we used to have a list of different properties that were Airbnb, but then that was taken off. I think we asked too many questions about that. But I'm wondering, so if we get that update every quarterly report, is it possible for the next quarterly report, if it's not too much work, if we could get a summary of how many Airbnbs were approved over the last 12 months and then from there sort of do whatever it is every couple of months for the quarterly report? Would that be too much to ask? Just because it's interesting to know what's happening.
Through you, Mayor, no, yes, I can include that as well. We'll have a subject matter visitor accommodation, which will give a bit of a roundup, and then going forward we can do the stats on how many visitor accommodations that there are.
Great, thank you. Much appreciated.
Thank you. Councillor Midgley, did you want to close the debate?
Closed, thank you.
Closed, thank you. I'm keen to close it before we give Ms Tullamore anything more to do. So I'm going to put the recommendation that the Development Services quarterly report be noted. Moved by Councillor Midgley, seconded by Councillor Cordova. All those in favour?
Aye.
Against? Motion is carried. We're moving on to page 76, notices of motion. There were no notices of motion, and now we have... that in accordance with Regulation 15 of the Local Government Meeting Procedures Regulations 2015, Council by absolute majority moved into closed session to consider the following items: confirmation of minutes
and applications for leave of absence. I'm looking for a mover and a seconder, please. Moved Councillor Bain, seconded Councillor Midgley. All those in favour?
Aye.
Against? Carried. In accordance with Kingborough Council Meetings Audio Recordings Guidelines Policy, recording the open session, the meeting will now cease. So thank you very much to all those people who have been, for the last 35 minutes, riveted to their YouTube and have been watching what is a very short council meeting this evening. Good night and thank you. Open session of council adjourned at 6:06 p.m.